To be in the house of the Lord. Praise the Lord. An opportunity that you have to gather together, to fellowship together, to believe God together, release faith, and encourage one another. Amen. So we always look forward to Sunday service. Look forward to Wednesday services. We've been saying it recently, but I tell you, some of the best teaching that goes on takes place on Wednesday. So if you can, work it out with your schedule. Come on Wednesdays. And of course, this Wednesday, having our picnic. Looking forward to that. Invite somebody. Grab your neighbor, grab your coworker, and bring them free food all around, and we'll have everything provided for you. Amen. Praise the Lord. We got something good for you today. You ready? Amen. You got to prepare your heart. I've been praying for you. I believe you're ready. I believe you're ready to receive. There's a story about a famous preacher, and his sermons were great, and people were moved by what he said, but nobody realized that, in fact, they had been written by his staff members. His sermons, that is. Finally, the assistant's patience had ran out, and one particular day, the preacher was speaking to thousands of expectant listeners, and at the bottom of page 2, read the stirring words, and this takes us to the very heart of the book of Habakkuk, which is, he turned to page 3, and he saw handwritten in very large letters, "You're on your own, buddy." I assure you, we write our own sermons around here. They're having a good time with that, amen? Well, praise the Lord. I believe we've got something that will help you out and encourage you this morning. And leave God with us, amen? Praise God. You know, all of us throughout our lives at some point or another face life's uncertainties and problems. Anybody ever been there? Just didn't seem like things were going to work out the way you wanted them to. And, you know, you got to make, in those times, you got to make the all-important decision. You must make the all-important decision to place your trust in God Almighty. Amen. Place your trust in the Lord. You know, it's not a time to quit. It's not a time to throw in the towel. Or you know, there's been some that have said, made the statement, not a time to bury your head in the sand. You understand what they're talking about. You know, pretending that there is no problem, hoping that it'll go away. How many of you know that's not the answer to a problem? Right? You know, you find yourself, you ever gone to the, I remember as a kid, we used to like to do this. We'd go to the department store, and as kids, you know, we always liked to go up the down escalator. Anybody ever tried that? You know, you find yourself just having to give it all your might because you're fighting against the current, right? And, you know, sometimes life can feel that way. But I assure you, the answer to those problems in those times when you feel like you're going up the down escalator is a strong faith. It's a strong faith. It's a strong trust in God. And a strong faith is the answer to every one of these difficulties. I like so much, and I always go back to this, you know, Jesus, one of the last messages that Jesus gave to his disciples before he went to the cross is John 14. And you'll notice all this whole section over the next couple chapters is all in red. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. And John 14, 27 says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives." Now listen to this. "Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And then just two short chapters after, chapter 16, verse 33, he finishes with this. He says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation." You know, if you look up that word tribulation, it's a word for pressure. Anybody ever felt pressure? You know, we can all relate to that. "In the world you'll have tribulation, you'll have pressure, but be of good cheer." There's his message to you this morning. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. It's so important to place and keep your hope in God. Amen. In Hebrews 6:19, I like the way it reads. It says, "Which hope we have is an anchor of the soul." You know, when you trust in God, it truly anchors you down. It keeps you solid and firm so that you're not wavering with life's difficulties. One of my hallmark, if you will, hallmark passages, and I find myself all the time going back to this, is found in Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5. It says this, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding." It goes on to say in the next verse, it says, "In all your ways acknowledge Him and He'll direct your path." Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. You know, if you think about this passage, and you understand anything about the Word, you can see that, how many of you know, this doesn't work in reverse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. This does not work in reverse. What do we mean by that? Placing your trust in your own human capabilities. Doesn't work that way. Placing your trust. You know, a lot of people actually equate that to luck. Right? You ever heard somebody say, well, you were just lucky. You were just lucky. Or, here's another area where people miss it. They take full credit for success, but they blame God for failure. Right? Say, Lord, everything worked out. I'm glad I'm so smart. And they say that in all kinds of different ways, you know. Say, well, I just prayed and I got results. Really, is that the way that works? You know, in some way or another, they make it sound rosy and they make it sound good, but what it comes down to is I'm the one that decided to trust God. And between me and the Lord, we made this work. Come on now. Oh, but when things don't go their way, they say, well, Lord, why'd you let this happen? Things didn't go the way you thought, and so you just want to blame God. Huh? You know, we've been in a building project over here in the school, finished up the church one, then we, over the summertime, we were wanting to start a remodel project on the school bathroom, and so we got over there, and if you've ever gone into a bathroom and you see these partitions, you know, those are pretty detailed things. Those things don't just come assembled. And so you know, it takes, they give you a book that you got to read, you know, to put all this fine print and detail, and man, it's a challenge. And so I remember at lunch, I was joking with Pastor Mark one day, and I said, you know, me and the Lord's building this thing here. Because there's no way I could have done this by myself. You know, listen, I'm not bragging on me. That's not me. I don't. But you know, that's the way you ought to approach life. You don't ever do things without the Lord's help. Amen. Every day that I went over there, this was quite a project, but every day that I went over there, I said, Lord, help me. I can't do this on my own. I don't want to do it on my own. So help me, guide me, lead me, direct me. Well, you know, there's several of these things on these pages. If you look in micro print, it says you need to have a half inch between this piece and this piece. And I made that mistake before. We started on one of these upstairs in the school a couple of years ago, or last year, a couple of years ago. And so this has been a process. We've been working our way around replacing these things because they've been here for years. And I remember that I did the very first one, and I wasn't paying attention, and I didn't see that, be sure to leave a half inch right here. And when I got to the end of it, it was a mess because I didn't pay attention to the very thing that was on the very front in micro print, mind you, but it said there must be a half inch between this board and this bracket. Well, because I didn't have the half inch there, then by the time I got all done, it was all off kilter and didn't go together. And I had to go all the way back and re-drill a hole. Now, I'm not going to tell you which one it is because there's a hole there that shouldn't be there. Man, you don't want to do life any other way except trust God. You want His help. You want His direction. You want to make sure that you get it right. Amen. But let me also add this. You're not a failure if you fail until you quit. I said you're not a failure when you fail, until you quit. See, that's the key. I love a good comeback story, don't you? I love a good comeback story. There's a lot of them out there. Why don't you be the comeback story? Why don't, maybe you're in the midst of a trial or what seems like a failure right now. Why don't you just go ahead and step up and trust God? Don't worry about what's past. Let the past be the past at last and just decide, you know what? I'm going to trust God today. Yes. Oh, I thank you. Thank you, Father, that, you know, in the book of Lamentations, it says His mercies are new every morning. So when you mess up, maybe you messed up on the way to church this morning. Father, forgive me. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Let's get it right after here. Oh, we all need that, don't we? There's no other way to do it. But, you know, when you trust in human wisdom, in yourself, and you say, well, I can do this by myself. And, you know, that's pride. That's self-reliance. You know, there's those out there that assume and proclaim that they're the masters of their own destiny. Listen, I don't want it my way. I said, I don't know about you. I don't want it my way. There's a passage in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 21 that actually says, "Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." Yeah. Woe unto them. You know, in Deuteronomy, go back to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Here we find Moses speaking to the children of Israel, and it's interesting, you know, they're in the plains of Moab here, and Moses is delivering his final message to the people. And this is in the final month of a 40-year, you know, hiatus here. 40 years that they shouldn't have been in. But here he is, he's talking to them in this final month of the 40 years of wandering. And so this is a new generation of Israelites. These are ones that were born in the desert. And so we're transitioning from what seemed like survival into where God's leading them into prosperity. But now notice this, in verse number 7 it says this, "For the Lord your God brings you into a good land, a land of brook and water and fountains and deep and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, and a land of oil, olive and honey." A land, anybody want to go there? Huh? "A land wherein you shall eat bread without scarceness, and you shall not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out of the hills thou may dig brass." But when you have eaten, now pay attention to this, Moses telling them, he says, "But when you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. But beware," everybody say beware.
Beware.
"But beware that you forget not the Lord your God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command you this day, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that is in your hand multiplies and your heart be lifted up and you forget." Oh, that's a tragic thing. You know, sometimes we go through things and you say, "Lord, if you just bring me through this, I'll serve you the rest of the days of my life." But then we get through it and you forget. He says, "Lest you forget the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein the fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, and where there was no water, who brought you forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers knew not, that he might humble you, that he might prove you to do good and to the latter end, that you say in your heart, my power, my might has gotten me this wealth. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he that gives you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore unto your fathers as it is to this day, that it shall be that if thou do all forget the Lord your God and walk after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish." Let me tell you something. God's prosperity, God's success on your life is never for selfish gain, but for a resource for you to build the church, to prosper in the kingdom of God, to bring others to Christ. So what is he saying? Whenever you become a success, don't forget God. We like to say it this way, don't leave God out of the equation, right? So that's what Moses was telling them. Look over at Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17, in a similar way, says this, Jeremiah 17, verse number 5 says, "Thus says the Lord God, cursed be the man that trusts in man, that makes his flesh his arm, and whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when the good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited." But verse 7, watch. "Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters that spreads out her roots in the river and shall not see when the heat comes, but her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of the drought, neither shall cease from yielding the fruit." You know, when it reads, trust in the arm of the flesh. When you trust in the arm of the flesh, it cuts you off from God's provision. That's what it's saying here. What are you talking about, arm of the flesh? We're talking about, again, relying on human strength and human resources, and I did this. Listen, I'm talking to a bunch of believers. You would never do this. Right? You say, well, I don't know why he's talking to us. We would never do this. Well, you think you wouldn't. Right? I said, you think you wouldn't. But notice he says, blessed is the man. You know, Jeremiah is describing two paths here. Two ways to go. There's the blessed path. Blessed is the man whose trust is in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. But then there's also your path. See, verse 5 tells us what happens on your path. And that is, cursed be the man that trusts in man and makes flesh his arm, whose heart departs from the Lord. So there's always his way and your way. Well, that's kind of a no-brainer, isn't it? Which way are you going to choose? Proverbs 28:26 says, he that trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walks wisely shall be delivered. Somebody say, I'm not a fool. For 25 years now, because one thing that I do every single morning, I get up and I read, and everybody's different, but you know, I always start in Proverbs. Proverbs is an easy place to go because, you know, most generally there's 30 days in a month, and so you can read a proverb a day. And so I always, for as long as I can remember, I've always read the proverb that corresponds, you know, among other things. I'm reading in the Old Testament, New Testament, whatever, but I've always read, if today's the 27th, I read Proverbs 27. Always done that. But you know, years ago, 25 years ago, when I really started this and doing this, man, I started paying attention to how many times the Bible talks about a fool. Did you know that in the King James alone, there is over 70 times that Proverbs talks about a fool, talks about being foolish or the fool, or isn't that a step? Now, if you go into other translations and look, you're probably talking 90 to 100 times. So say, I've always wanted to do the message, don't be a fool. But you know, I just can't get myself to do that because, you know, I always want to encourage people. But maybe that is an encouragement. Hey, don't be stupid. Don't be a fool. Right? Everybody say, I'm not a fool. And so the Lord is saying here, he that trusts in his own heart is a fool. You when you do it, you know, that's a stubborn way to go. Say, I'm going to do it my way. Wait, anybody ever had kids, grandkids? Then you know what that's like. Right? I've got a little granddaughter that is very headstrong. She gets whatever she wants because I can do that. But now let me tell you something. She wants to do it her way 100% of the time. And so my response, because this is what a good grandfather would do, is I sit there and I say, now baby, I can help you. You let me know how I can help you. Well, you know, it's real tempting to take that thing. That's like candy this morning. You know, I have a candy jar, and they come running into my office when I get here, and I just give them as much as they want. Right? That's what we do. Pastor Mark gives them bubble gum as much as they want. You know, they go in there, they get bubble gum, they come to me, they get candy, they go to Mimi, and they get, you know, that's just the way we treat them around here, and we can't look over here because it just doesn't matter, right? Well, my granddaughter, she likes to go in there and get this candy. And I mean, even this morning, she gets the candy that she wants out of my jar. And well, her little fingers can't open that package. And so I'm sitting there watching her, and she's learned. She'll try it, and she'll try it, and she'll try it, and she'll try it, and she'll try it, until she finally just goes, she hands it to me, and I can open it a little bit. I can't take it out of the wrapper. I can open it a little bit, and I can hand it to her, and she can do it the rest of the way. That's the way you keep a happy granddaughter. But I wonder how many times the Lord is sitting there in the midst of our situation and he's going, baby, I can help you.
Yeah.
Baby, honey child, I can help you. I can save you some time. Will you trust me? Will you read the word? Will you do what it says? You sought counsel and you went to the pastor, you went to your mom and dad and they gave you some advice and you decided, I don't want to do it that way. And the Lord is saying, I could have helped you. I could have helped you. I could have saved you. Could have saved you the heartache. Right? Come on now. Somebody listening to me? Proverbs 29:25 says, whoso puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe. You know, when you look up that word safe, it's a Hebrew word that quite literally means to be set up high. You know, when you read Scripture, the Bible's interesting. It talks a lot about the eagle. You know, you shall mount up like on the wings of eagles. It gives all kinds of comparisons. And, And so when I read this word, you shall be saved, and I saw with it, it literally means up high. I thought of an eagle. You know, an eagle builds their nest way up high, usually at the top of the trees, not in the midst of the trees, but at the top of the trees. And so I started looking into this, and I was curious because, you know, you can AI anything and find out, you know, all kinds of things. And so, you know, an eagle builds its nest up high, you know, sometimes as much as 100 feet up in these trees. And it's interesting because it says the reason that they do this is to keep predators away, but then it's also for a good view to see predators, but to see their prey, to see their food. But then I like this part. It also says the reason they do this is because when the young hatchlings hatch out, it also gives them an easy way to jump out of the nest and glide their way out. It's interesting, isn't it? He that trusts in the Lord shall be safe. Do you know he's trying to protect you? With the wisdom that he's given us and the word that he's given us, there's a better way. I said there's always a better way in him. Whoso trusts in the Lord. You know, the principle of trust is resting the mind on the sound principles of another. What you're saying when you trust somebody is you're saying, I recognize your way is better than my way. That's what you're doing when you trust somebody. So you're saying that you're committing yourself to the care of another person. We read this, actually, I think we read this last time, but Oswald Sanders says, there is no conceivable situation in which it is not safe to trust in God. There's never a situation. In fact, Psalm 62:8 says, trust in him at all times. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him, for God is a refuge for us. So trust involves a determination of the heart and the mind to rest in, now watch this, rest in and commit your way unto another. I'm sure you've heard the passage, but in Isaiah 55:8-9, it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor my ways your ways. His ways are higher, aren't they? His ways are better. Look over at Psalm 37, talking about trust. Everybody say, I trust him. Say, I trust him. Say it like you mean it. Say, I trust him. In Psalm 37, verse number 3, it says, trust in the Lord and do good, so shall you dwell in the land, and verily you shall be fed. Verse number 4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. And then verse number 5, commit. Trust, delight, commit. Commit your way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Amen. He shall bring it to pass. You know, whenever you commit your way unto the Lord, whenever you decide to trust in the Lord, I love the way in the Passion Translation of verse 5 it says, give God the right to direct your life, and as you trust him along the way, you'll find that he pulls it off perfectly. I said, you'll find that he pulls it off perfectly. Amen. See, your way can get you in a big mess. Doing it apart from God can get you in a big mess. And so when you commit something to the Lord, you're rolling over onto him. It's like rolling a rock. You're rolling it over on him. You're pushing it over on him. In verse number 7, you're there in Psalm 37. Verse number 7, it says, rest in the Lord, wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself, become of him that prospers in his way. Rest in the Lord. Quite literally, if you look up that word rest, it means to be silent. Do you know some of the best things that you can do for yourself is to shut your mouth? And I'm not talking about the old thing of, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. No, I'm saying, shut your mouth. There's a whole message series that we could do on how you get yourself in trouble with what you say. Huh? And you think about your situation and how quick it is to say, well, we don't have the money for that. Where are we going to get the money for that? This ain't never going to happen. I caught myself the other day because Sheila and I, you know, our summer's coming to a close, and so, you know, everybody's schedule's different, but when summer comes to a close, then it's a little bit harder to take day trips, and we've got a convertible, so we like to ride around and do these things, and so, So we've been busy with some things going on, and we just did a teacher training, and we've been remodeling some things. Anyways, you know, the summer's coming to a close, and school's getting ready to get started. And so I just kind of made the comment. I was wanting to do something the other day, and I said, "Well, you ain't never going to get in that car and go for a ride anymore." Hey, I'm just telling on me. I know y'all think I'm perfect. I said, "We ain't never going to get in that car and go for a ride." She goes, "You can have what you say." She turned around and walked away. That's what my good wife said. And I just kind of sat there and I was like, "Well, all right. I reckon I need to change what I'm saying." Listen, that's just a small thing, but how many know in the big things? You know, we purposely made decisions when we were young, married, and started having kids and them growing up. We purposely made the decision that we were not going to make decisions based on money, that we were going to watch what we said, because certainly we didn't want to pass off anything onto the kids. And hopefully they never really felt that pressure. Listen, we all have pressure, whether it's finances, whether it's in your health, whether it's with your kids or whatever it is. We all face pressure. Whether it's with the job, we face pressure. But you know, if you're going to trust God and you're going to place your trust and your faith and your hope in Him, you've got to watch what you say. And sometimes the best thing you could do is keep your mouth shut. Instead of saying all kinds of things that you want to say, you got to keep your mouth shut. If you're going to truly trust God, and you're gonna trust and commit this to the care of another, you got to take your hands off the wheel. That's not easy sometimes. I'm an administrator. My hands are on the wheel. My hands, my feet, as much as I can get is on the wheel. That's what I do for a living. Is I administrate. I'm an organizer, and that's what I'm about. So one of the hardest things I can do is take my hands off the wheel. It's not built in me. It's not, but when it comes to trusting God, you gotta take your hands off the wheel. I don't even like for somebody else to drive. We've been giving Caleb the keys at lunchtime. You know, he drives us everywhere. Huh? Now, he does a good job, but most of the time, except for at lunch, I'm driving. You know why I drive? Because I'm in control. Because I can help where I go. I can't help where everybody else goes. Caleb does a good job now. Don't get me wrong. He does a good job driving us around town. I don't even like my wife to drive. And it's not necessarily she does a bad job, but I'm not in control then. Are you with me? You know, my kids were two totally different individuals growing up. Christina was always my mission trip girl, my food truck girl. Anybody like eating at food trucks? See, there's about half of you going to go, "Ain't no time in my life am I ever going to eat at a food truck." She's my food truck girl. She's my I'll do anything with you girl. And then there's my son Matthew. Matthew, not so much. Matthew doesn't use the bathroom out in public. Matthew is a homebody. Matthew doesn't, you know, he's not a thrill seeker. He's not a mission trip guy. He went on one mission trip. The entire time we've been in ministry, he went on one mission trip. And hated every single moment of it. Why? He's a lot like me. He likes to be in control. Well, throughout the years, we've always, for the most part, gone to the beach during vacation, during the summertime. And so, you know, over all the years, when we first started going, we went and we did what we could. That was, we went with them because they were paying for it. And so we did what we could, and as time progressed, we did a little bit on our own, and then we were able to go out to eat once during the week. Come on, anybody listen to me? Well, as time went on, you know, the kids were always asking, "Hey, can we swim with the dolphins? Hey, can we ride the jet ski? Hey, can we do the parasail?" And we were always like, "We'll do it soon. We'll do it soon." Well, the time came. You know, we had the money this one time, and the time came, and I was excited about it, and so I didn't tell the kids. But we were there at the beach, and finally one of them come up, and they were like, "Can we do the things?" And I was like, "We can do the things." And so I said, "You know what? We've got the money. You know, you go to the beach, and they got the chairs, and they got the little, you know, cabana boy out there, and he's the one that does all the jet skis and the parasail. And so I say, let's go over there and let's do a parasail thing. Matthew goes, nope. I said, well, we talked about this. Let's go. You get to go up on that parasail. He goes, nope. And he's looking at it, nope. I said, we've talked about this. After all these years, we've talked about this. We've got the money. Let's go do the parasail. He goes, Dad, what's going to happen when that thing comes loose and the wind hits and it blows it right over here into this condo? I said, my God, son, have you ever seen that happen? He goes, nope. But what's the chance if I get on and it does that? Well, so my daredevil and I went and we did the parasail thing. And we enjoyed it, man. You get up there and you see all the sharks that are swimming around the people and all the, all the stingrays and all the dolphins. I mean, it was amazing. We loved it. Nope. Wasn't going to do it. Well, I don't remember exactly. We were trying to figure it out, but I think it was the week after we got back. We were watching the news that particular year. We were watching the news. It was all over the news that a parasail broke free and slammed into the condominium. And Matthew's just looking at me. Because, I went through the whole thing. I said, man, they've got multiple ropes tied to that thing. And it's safe. And there it went. Listen, Pastor Mark said, true story. I ain't making this up. Now, listen, he's much better now. He stepped out of the boat. Anybody like the story of Peter? He stepped out of the boat. He's gone. He's had tremendous miracles happen in his life. Well, that don't mean that he's going to get on a parasail anytime soon. But you know something? When you trust God, sometimes it's going to feel like you're up in that parasail, but you can't start going, what if, what if, what if, what if, what if, what if, what if? See, we always made the joke that Matthew lived in the land of what ifs. That was him. What if? What if? This could happen. What if this? What if that? What if? You ever caught yourself doing that? Lord, what if you don't come through? Lord, what if it doesn't happen the way you say it's going to happen? Huh? Let me tell you something. He's not going to fail you. If you won't quit and you won't bury your head in the sand and you won't pretend, he's not going to fail you. Amen. I could look through my life, especially over the last 35 years, of seriously following after the Lord and seeking Him and doing those things. He's never failed me. There's time it looked like it wasn't going to turn out the way I wanted it to, but He's never failed me. And let me tell you this, He never will. Amen? True trust involves placing your life in the care of another. One man said, we must put more faith in what we do know about God than in what we don't know about the future. I'm so thankful. In Matthew 14, the Bible talks about Peter and talks about Peter walking on the water. Lord, if it's your will, bid me to come. And I'm so glad that Peter walked on the water. But there's a lot of people that say, yeah, but Peter began to sink. Let me ask you a question. When you get to heaven, are you going to bring that up to Peter? Are you going to say, Peter, why'd you start sinking? Is that going to be your conversation with Peter? Huh? Peter walked, anybody out there, anybody ever? Peter walked on water. Yes. Walked on water. Now, you could go try it. I want you to videotape it because I want to see it for my personal pleasure. Let me tell you something. Peter walked on water. What did he do? Lord, I trust you. Lord, I trust you. Lord, I trust you. But see what happened with Peter. Now, we can talk about it a little bit because it's in the Bible, but what happened with Peter? The Bible says when he saw the wind boisterous. What does that mean? He saw the waves, and they were, getting churned up, and things began to, and then he began to sink. That's what happens in our life. We say, Lord, I trust you, but then it gets hard, and then we go, well, I don't know. Maybe I can find a better way. You're not going to find a better way. I said, you're not going to find a better way. Look back at Genesis chapter 12. Talking about Abraham, Genesis chapter 12. Just the first few verses here. It says now, verse number one, it says, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of your country, from your kindred, and from your father's house. 75 years old, and he's living with mom and daddy. I think there's a message in that. I'm not sure. And to a land that I will show you. We don't have any 75-year-olds living with mom and dad, do we? Okay. I'm sorry if I'm not trying to pick on anybody. Verse number 2 says, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless you and curse him that curses you, for in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed. That's the message. Abraham departed. The Lord said, move, and the Bible says, he moved. I heard somebody say one time, Abraham went out not knowing where he was going. He didn't know where he was going immediately, but he knew where he was going ultimately. Let me tell you something. You wouldn't branch out and take a step and leave if you didn't trust God. There's security. Obviously, there's security at mama's house because he lived there for 75 years. There's security being close to home. There's security in being in what's comfortable. There's security in doing the norm and what everybody does. There's security there. I grew up in a small town, 4,000 people. You guys know that. I've talked about it before. But you know, it just seemed to me growing up that nobody ever left. You know, it was back then, now it's not so much anymore, is a suburb of Austin, Texas. I mean, it's growing and growing and growing and growing. Austin is one of the top 10 most populous cities in the United States now. I mean, it's just growing. But it used to be cow country. When we moved out to the city I grew up in, it was cow country and weeds and pasture. There wasn't nothing out there. And so it just seemed to me that all my friends, you know, growing up, and I was seeing my brother's group and them graduating, it just seemed like nobody ever left. And so even then, as I started thinking about my future, this was before I had direction to go to Bible school and stuff, I wanted out. I wanted to do something. I wanted out of the comfort of home. Doesn't mean there's anything bad at home. Doesn't mean that I love home. I love going back home right now. I love it. But I wanted something different. And I knew when I was a junior in high school, I knew that if I wanted something different, I had to leave what was comfortable. We can always stay where it's comfortable. Maybe the Lord's challenging you to do something and it involves getting out of your comfort zone, doing something different. Do you trust Him? See, maybe you're in the middle of a crisis, and when the crisis of life comes, and they will at times, if you don't know how to act on the word you've heard, you're truly at a disadvantage. Peter says it this way, 1 Peter 4:12 says, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial. Anybody ever been in a fire, not just a trial, but a fiery trial? Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened to you. Lord, I'm going through this pressure. It doesn't make sense. The Bible says that temptations must come. Trials must come. We're all going to face those times. But the answer is, what are you going to do? You're going to respond on the word. 1 Peter 5:7, just one chapter over, here's your response. Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. What is a care? It's talking about the whole of your cares, your anxieties and your worries. Casting your care over on the Lord. The cast means you're throwing it over. Or maybe, you know, you can relate to a cast. Anybody ever gone fishing? You know, you cast that line. You throw it over away from you. So when you're casting your cares, you're quite literally throwing it over on the Lord. But here's the kicker. You're not picking it back up. How many times have we gone to the Lord with a care and we go and we pray, or maybe we come to the altar or we answer that call and then, you know, we pick it back up on the way out. And we start trying to, well, Lord, I know I committed this to you, but I still got to figure this out. I still got to remember my hands are on the wheel. I'm the one in control. Work with me here. But He's saying, why don't you let me handle it? Why don't you let me handle it? Casting it over on Him. Psalm 55:22 says, cast your burden, cast your cares, cast your burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain you. He shall never, somebody say never. Never. Say it like you mean it. He shall never. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Quite literally, it means shaken. Psalm 16, verse 8 says, I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. That sounds like a song, doesn't it? I shall not be. That's all I'm singing. I shall not be moved. I remember growing up as a kid, we used to sing that song all the time at church. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree planted by the water. Yeah. I shall not be moved. That's found in Jeremiah. We just read that. Jeremiah chapter 17 actually refers to Psalm 1:3. I shall not be moved. I don't care anything about the news, but I read the other day CBS News in their Sunday morning deal did because we're celebrating the 250 years of America. They did the 250 most influential songs over the last 250 years. And did you know that song was in that list? I shall not be moved. Amen. Just like a tree that's planted by the water, I shall not be moved. There's an element of trust that involves you giving up control, taking your hands off the wheel, and determining, I will not be moved. Amen. I will not be moved. Isaiah 12, verse number 2 says, Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and I will not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. Somebody say, I'm not afraid. Say, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. Isaiah 40, verse 31 says, you remember that this is going to be a paraphrase I'm going to read to you, but you remember the scripture, Isaiah 40, 31 says, They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You remember that? Here's a paraphrase, and it reads this way. He who walks with him shall find great strength and shall do great things and shall rise above. Shall rise above. Oh, glory to God. Everybody stand to your feet. I read this story the other day. It was interesting. I'm a history guy. I love history and love reading things about history. But in the Revolutionary War, this is in the late 1779, in fact, on September 23rd, 1779. In the Battle of Flamborough Head, there was a gentleman by the name of John Paul Jones. And so the story goes, the great American naval officer John Paul Jones is credited with saying similar words as he faced what seemed to be certain defeat during the Revolutionary War. So get this. During a major sea battle, Jones' ship sustained heavy damage, and it looked as if he was going to sink at any moment. Thinking his victory was assured, the British commander that sent Jones the message. He hollers across the water, because they're close by. He hollers across the water and he calls out to him. And he says, Are you ready to give up? But John Paul Jones sent back the courageous reply, I have not yet begun to fight. Despite the damage inflicted on his ship, Jones went on to capture the British warship and win the battle. And I read that after somebody and I got curious. I thought, how did he win that war? Did you know the history tells us that he actually directed his ship to ram that other ship? His was sinking. It was going down. There was no other choice. He said, you know what? I'm taking them with me. He rammed that ship, but when he rammed the ship, it locked them together and it stopped his ship from sinking. I have not yet begun to fight. You may be in the midst of a battle that you just don't see a way out this morning. You may be fighting something that you've been fighting for months and months and months. But if you won't quit, I said this morning, if you won't quit and you place your trust in God Almighty and you say, I have not yet begun to fight, that's your answer. Do you trust Him this morning? If not, will you place your trust in Him? Because let me give you a little heads up. Your way has not been helping. Your mouth has not been helping. His ways are so much higher than your ways. His ways are better than your ways. So why don't you just make the decision, you know what? I'm tired of fighting this thing. It's not going my way anyways. So Lord, I trust you. Can you do that this morning? Everybody close your eyes, lift your hands. Just shut everything out and say, Lord, I trust you. Lord, I trust you. I trust you like never before. We We, Cleveland Christian Fellowship, we have not yet begun to fight. No matter what it is you may be facing this morning, place your trust in God Almighty and declare, just like we read, I will not be afraid. I have no reason to fear because I trust God. So therefore, I'm taking my hands off and I'm saying, Lord, have your way in this situation. I trust you. And I believe that as I commit my way unto you, as I trust you and I commit and delight myself in you, that you will direct my paths and you will lead me in the way that I should go. That's our talk. That's our determination this morning. That's the words of our mouth this morning, is I trust you and trust you alone. Can you do that this morning? Glory to God. But now let me ask you the question. Maybe you're here this morning, you're in the sound of my voice, and you say, I don't know what it means to trust God because I've never had a relationship with the Lord. This morning before you leave, things could be different. I said this morning before you leave, things could be different. And let me say this, He'll take you just as you are. Mistakes and all, He'll take you just as you are. So maybe you found yourself in that position and you don't know what it means to have a relationship with Him, or maybe you have, but you know you're not where you could be, where you should be. You've taken steps back. You've decided, I'm doing this my way. Why don't you relinquish control this morning? Why don't you say, Father, I trust you and mean it? Glory to God. Is that anybody this morning? You don't know the Lord? Or maybe you'd like to declare your trust and your faith in Him. You'd like to come back. Maybe you're backslidden, but you'd like to come back home. Is that anybody at all? Can I see your hand? I just want to pray with you, agree with you. Glory to God. Let's all say this. Heavenly Father, I call you Lord. I call you Lord. And that means that I trust you. So therefore this morning, in the midst of trial, in the midst of pressure, in the midst of challenges, I take my hands off and I declare you are Lord. I place my trust in you alone. And I know that I shall win because I have not yet begun to fight. Because I have not yet begun to fight. Glory to God. That's our confession this morning, and we trust you. We place our trust in you, and we thank you. We thank you. Several times we already read, we shall not be moved. We shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water, I shall not be moved. That's us this morning. You agree with that? Well, just go ahead and shout about it. Glory to God. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Glory to God. Glory to God. We're coming out the other side. We're coming out the other side victorious. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We trust you. We trust you. We trust you. We trust you. Glory to God. You know what a tree planted by the waters does, right? All that's implying is that its roots go deep. Have you ever noticed that trees that are on the water side, they're just vibrant? Their roots go down deep. That's what it's talking about. Just like a tree planted by the water, I shall not be. If the roots go deep, how many of you know it's hard to push them? It's hard to pull them up. It's hard because the roots go down deep. This is your root. You got to go deep in the Word. And when you do, you're saying, I trust you. Amen. One more time. Everybody say, I trust Him. I trust Him. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. He's good, amen. He's going to come through for you. I guarantee it. I said, I guarantee it. Say, I'll not be moved. Do you mean that this morning? And you go out here victorious. You go out here shouting the victory. And you declare for yourself, I shall not. You just go ahead and sing the song to yourself today. Maybe you don't know it. Go find it. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water, I shall not be moved. Amen. Praise God. God bless you. We love you. You're dismissed this morning. Amen.